down there? Good evening, everybody. This meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will come to order. Today is Monday, July 29th. The time is 7:36 p.m. And this is a regular meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice of January 10, 2013. Faxing to three newspapers designated by the board, posting on district websites and bulletin boards, and faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Ms. Spitzer, would you please do the roll call?
Mrs. Grant?
Here.
Mrs. Cresti?
Here.
Mr. Freda?
Present.
Mr. Higgins?
Here.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Here.
Mr. McTiernan?
Present.
And Mrs. Sullivan?
And Mr. Sturgis?
Present. Ms. Cresti, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, to start tonight, I just wanted to make a few comments before we proceed with the meeting. You'll hear in the meeting tonight about some projects that we've been working on for some time. We've talked about them in several Board of Education meetings, but we finally have some significant progress to report on capital projects. You'll hear updates and action items during committee reports. I also want to congratulate our administrative team for successful completion of the Danielson Framework training and testing. I know Dr. Clark will talk about that more in detail, but I know that was a long day. I just wanted to note that we're 4 weeks into the extended school year program. Many of you are familiar with it. For those of you who are not, we run a program here actually in Clinton Township Middle School. It's a program for special services department, and it's designed to help kids who need extra help avoid regression in the summer months. So we're 4 weeks into a five-week program. The kids attend school here half days for approximately, it's 4 days a week for 5 weeks. So I just wanted to encourage the staff and kids to hang in there. You have another week to go, and you're doing a good job. The last item I have in my comments was I wanted to announce a resignation on the board. Michelle Sullivan has resigned. She and her family are moving out of state. We knew Mrs. Sullivan was leaving. She had a displanned relocation. The timing was somewhat up in the air, but as it turns out, she's moving tomorrow. So she's leaving the Garden State, and we wish her well and hope that she'll come back and visit us in the future. We did present Mrs. Sullivan with a letter thanking her for her years of service to the board. We also presented her with a portrait of the Red Schoolhouse. So if you have a chance to drop her a note or call her, you better do it quick, and just thank her and congratulate her for the time she and her family gave to the Clinton Township Board of Education. Actually, staying on that topic, that creates a vacancy on the board. Historically, the method of filling an unexpired term would be for the board to announce the vacancy, ask members of the public for all who were qualified to indicate their interest and come speak and interview before the board. Then the board would have a discussion and we would appoint a person to fill that unexpired term. In this case, Mrs. Sullivan's unexpired term is 1 year. It would actually be 1 year beyond December 21st, 2013. But with the change in the election law, there's an additional regulation about appointment of new board members. We just got information on this change last week. Thank you. One of the new regulations is that if a person expires and there's an unexpired term and the board becomes aware of it prior to September 3rd of that calendar year, then the board is to create an additional slot on the ballot. So we have three terms that are up for election this year, and there are three people already on the ballot. I'm one of them. The regulation would require that the board file an amendment with the county clerk, creating a fourth position, which would be for that unexpired term. So the board can still go about asking residents of the township if they're interested in filling an unexpired term. The change is that there will be a ballot line, and that person would have until September 6th of the calendar year to submit a petition. You need 10 signatures. And that would qualify you to be elected to fulfill that unexpired term. So that's new. That didn't exist in the past, but that's a new regulation as of this election cycle. So we're learning about it. I spoke to Mary Melfi, the county clerk, today. Heather Spitzer and I spoke about it as well to make sure that we understood it. We think we have a good handle on it now, so when we communicate out this vacant position to the public, we'll include some of those details about the process going forward. Okay, moving on to the report of the superintendent of schools, Dr. Clark.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming. I'd like to, I want to get to Danielson after I give you an update about our administrative hiring process. I have to say so far, because we have more to do. And that's the good news. On May 13th, we posted for a supervisor of instruction. I'd like to share that this is not a new position in the district, but it's an old position that we wanted to rework based on changing needs of the students, the teachers, and the entire district itself. We interviewed 7 candidates. And we brought 3 to a committee of administrators, teachers, and a board member of the personnel committee. Questions were composed by the committee, and the same questions were given to all the candidates. A technology project, inclusive of data assessment, was also required of each candidate, as well as a writing project. The superintendent is recommending tonight to the board the unanimous choice of the committee, Mr. Timothy Jaw, who is here with us tonight. I'm going to brag about you a little bit, Tim, so. Poor Tim is having to get used to me. Mr. Jaw has worked as a teacher in Clinton Township since 2006. He received his BA in economics with a minor in mathematics from Vassar College. He obtained an MA in teaching from the College of New Jersey and a master's in educational leadership from the College of New Jersey as well. Tim came to teaching from the world of finance, and he brings experience in data analysis, technology, and classroom assessment. I'm sorry, folks, my voice is going a little bit. He has served on multiple committees in the district, including strategic planning, district technology, and the district evaluation advisory committee. We're really proud to have him as part of our leadership team. And I'll brag a little bit more later about something he just did. on the agenda tonight, you will also see my recommendation of Mrs. Sue High for the Round Valley principal. This position was posted on June 18th, and a committee of teachers, parents, a member of the personnel committee of the board, and administrators formulated questions for the 3 final candidates. 19 applied for this position. A writing project inclusive of HIB scenarios and responses was included in the interview process. And I am recommending the unanimous choice of the committee, Mrs. Sue High.
Thank you.
Mrs. High has been the vice principal of Round Valley since 2010 and was previously a teacher in South Bound Brook and a few other places. She brings administrative experience, knowledge of the staff, students, and district, and a strong background as a special education teacher. Mrs. High has participated in curriculum mapping, been a co-presenter at New Jersey School Boards Association, presenting on best practices, has been the district INRS liaison, trained in crisis prevention, and is the district administrative action officer. Affirmative action officer. Can't forget that. So I'm very excited to present these two members of our staff as members of our leadership team. I also want to thank the hardworking committee members who volunteered their time so generously and really spent some very long days interviewing and working very hard and very thoughtfully about what is best for this district. And they considered not only the knowledge of the people who we were interviewing, but what they would bring to Clinton Township and our students. And I think they made some great recommendations and choices here. And as part of that, these two members of our team also participated in the Danielson training and worked on TeachScape. And Tim had joined us for the last meetings, and he also joined us in taking the test. He did not postpone taking the test, which he could have done easily. He decided to take the test with the rest of the administrators. And I will tell you, I said this to some of the board members here, that I thought it was one of the hardest tests that I have ever taken, and I've taken a lot of tests in my time. we all passed the test the first time. We had multiple opportunities, but we didn't need to take them. Yay, team. We are now certified in the framework for teaching proficiency. So I'm very proud of the administrative team. Although I do want to share something with the board. I've done a preliminary count based on the new evaluation system. And it's looking to me like we're looking at doing over 800 teacher evaluations this school year. That does not include the observations for teaching assistants and the new administrative evaluation system. So I'm a little concerned about how we're going to do all of these evaluations. I think it's going to be quite challenging. I did want to share that we really, when we took this test, we decided to do it all together. Don't worry, you can't cheat. We had different videos to watch. Everybody had a different test, so you can't share that information. But we did do it together in the same room. The stress in the room was palpable. At one point, I looked around and I saw administrators with their heads in their hands, and even in the most challenging, I really apologize, even in the most challenging circumstances throughout this year, I haven't seen administrators with their heads in their hands. So this was the first time I saw that. It was interesting to observe. And I will say the thing about it that was most valuable to me as a superintendent is that we bonded together as a leadership team. We were all stressed by the same parts of taking this test and studying together and worrying about doing the right thing for the staff. We all knew that there are many other districts that have said to their leadership team, you don't have to take this test for another year. You can just certify that we're trained and you don't have to take the final test. And we decided we were going to take it because we made a commitment as a team to our teaching staff. And that commitment meant something to all of us. We promised that we would take the test and be certified, and so that's what we were going to do. And frankly, it was an experience that I don't think I'll soon forget. And I do have to say that poor Judy, and in the middle of the test, the system crashed, she had to wait, while the rest of us were still testing, to get back in the system. So she was the last one finished, and we all waited for her to click finish and see the green light that she had passed. And we all cheered and screamed together. If you had been at Patrick McGarren that day, you probably would have locked us all up. But we were pretty excited about it. So it makes us all deemed proficient in knowledge and observational application of the Charlotte Danielson Framework for Teaching Evaluation Instrument. And I will say that we did get, I think I brought it with me. Oh, we got a certificate to prove that we passed the test. I'm going to hang it on my refrigerator, yeah.
Is there any truth to the rumor that there was dancing going on during the exam?
Yes. The superintendent did get a video of a music teacher to observe. And it was a very good music teacher who had some very current, interesting music in the classroom. And as I looked around the room and saw the stress level, I decided that maybe what I should do is dance a little bit in the midst of it. So, yes, no. That rumor is correct. Right. Yes, but so my report is finished for tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Clark. Can I have a motion on SU-001?
Oh, wait. Hold on a second. I have to introduce Judy Hammond, who is going to do the presentation tonight, because that I finished too quickly. I apologize. I got too excited about all the testing. Mrs. Hammond is going to present the HIB self-assessment presentation, which we are required to present to the board as part of policy.
Good evening, Board of Education members, ladies and gentlemen. Can you hear me? I've been given advice not to touch this because it may collapse, so I'm going to talk on my toes. I am going to give you the short and sweet version. If you look here, this is the paperwork that I'm required to submit to the Department of Education. If you went into each of the schools, you would see a crate, and I'm not exaggerating, a crate that you could hardly pick up for the evidence that we have to show for our self-assessment. So when we talk about these grades for HIB, please believe we can substantiate everything that we're talking about. So just wanted to show you this is a little part of it. We found midway through the year this year that we needed to do a self-assessment. We knew we were going to have to do one, but we didn't know how. And so for the Department of Education, gave us a pamphlet which talked about what we needed to do. And we needed to grade ourselves, make sure this is right, on 8 areas. And in each of the eight areas, we could give ourselves a 3 for exceeds the requirements, a 2 for meets the requirements, a 1 for partially meets the requirements, or a 0 for does not touch the requirements at all. I'm not going to go into each of these. They're very comprehensive. And you will see on the next slide exactly how we rated ourselves. It's a very comprehensive assessment. A lot of people will say, but you're self-assessing. But one of the things that when we went through this, it really made us look at our programs in each of the schools and determine, are we meeting those requirements? And I'm pleased to tell you that we are. So you will see here are the schools. Spruce Run, the total that you could get was a 75. They got a 70 out of 75. Here are the elements right across the top. Patrick McGarren got a 66. Round Valley got a 70. And CTMS is a 68. Well, you may ask yourselves, why does Patrick McGarren have a lower grade than Spruce Run, Round Valley, and CTMS? That is a self-assessment grade. When the school safety team met together with myself and the principal, they really looked at what they had done and said, okay, maybe we can tighten up some of the programs we have done. I think at Spruce Run, Round Valley, and CTMS, we had a very tight program. PMG, they really looked at it and said, we're going to tighten up and we're going to move forward from there. What I'd like to let you know is that one of the commendations were, as we looked at each area, we looked at the program and the training that we have in place in each school. It's very comprehensive. Each school has a different program or environment, culture for their students. It starts off in Spruce Run and PMG from seeds of friendship and where friendship grows. Round Valley, we have always building community. And at CTMS, they have the 6 pillars of character. And last year, they did the Roots program with Princeton. So we each have our own character ed, anti-bullying, and service projects. They're different, but they are very comprehensive. And what we are finding that this is paying off, that the programs and the training that we've given to our staff really is creating a safe school environment. All schools met or exceeded the requirements in all areas of reporting. There was not any that partially met it or did not meet it in any areas of talk at all. Each school's safety team, as I told you, used the opportunity to reflect. They have the huge crate that's in place now. So when we start next year, we will start gathering that information. We will collect the minutes of each meeting. We will improve our data collection to actually track from one year to the next where the incidents are being reported, which ones have been substantiated, and where we're moving forward. So we used it to reflect and refine. And like I said, we have copious notes on how to move forward. The recommendations. What I would say is if we go back to the first slide where you will see some of our lower areas are, that was we looked at some of our data. We have collected data, but we haven't plotted it over time to talk about where are these in the district, where are we noticing certain incidents take place. We know there are areas. We know it's usually the unstructured, less supervised areas. We know it's quite often during transition times. We know that, but we want to actually have evidence and data to say this is where it's taking place. So that's one of the areas that we said we could really tighten up in each school and that the district anti-bullying coordinator would compile that and do a year-to-year review of where that data leads us. One of the other things that we found ourselves we had rated lower in was one of the requirements for the New Jersey Department of Education was that all staff had been trained within the year on suicide prevention. Now, previously, the training outside HIB is within a 5-year period you have to be trained. All our staff has been trained within a 5-year period, but not within that shorter time period. So what we're going to be doing at the new staff for this year, we're going to be making sure everybody is trained with that. So that's one thing we're moving forward to. And the other thing we looked at the recommendations is We do training. We, you know, we looked at, David Nash came and spoke to the Board of Education. I did four parent universities last year for the community. We do things with students, parents, teachers, but I think we need to increase that and offer more opportunity for people to participate. So that's one of the things we want to work on. In a nutshell, that's it. Like I said, there were copious notes. There's a lot of data. But overall, what we came to the conclusion in each school is that we are doing a good job. Obviously, can we do better? Absolutely. But that's, you know, the grades, I think, show that we are doing a good job. Questions for me?
Has the Department of Education reviewed your self-assessment and commented on it?
No. We don't send that in until you agree as the board to accept it. It has to go to you, and it has to be open for public comments. Once that happens, I will sit with Mrs. Bobel, and we will send it to the Department of Education. They review it, and then when they send it back to us, we have to post it on the district website. We have to keep the documentation. If they would like to come in and review our documentation, they can. They literally ask for a sheet like this and then some other documents, but we obviously don't send in the copious.
Is there a targeted time frame to provide them with information?
Yes, it needs to be done by August, a date in August. So this was the board meeting we needed to have it done by.
In looking at, not to interrupt everyone, but in looking at the schools and district grades, to be expected, there's always room for improvement. Are there specific targeted plans by school to raise the scores up in areas that they're not at the top?
I was at two of the three meetings. So initially, I met with the school safety team, each school safety team. When they compiled their information, we talked about it, and they are now developing plans. Each school has a plan on where in their school they need to move forward. Yes.
You had mentioned as one of your recommendations that you were going to compile some data.
Yes.
To support the area that you feel.
Yes.
That incidents.
Maria, can you talk into the microphone? I can't hear you.
Sure. I'm sorry. You said you were going to compile some data to substantiate where everybody feels that the incidents are occurring. I'm confident that you're doing things right now that you know where the areas of weaknesses are to fix it. Mm. The purpose of this data is to show an improvement with changes, or is it just to substantiate the fact that we know that these are areas? Because I think there's two things going on. I know the administration is very diligent about fixing areas of weakness. How will you use that data?
The data will be used to help us pinpoint the areas of weakness and to focus on ways to improve it. For example, if there's something going on the buses, and I'm not saying there is,
right,
it would be something that we would meet with the drivers and do an intensive HIB. Maybe that would be something we'd have to sit and work out as a school. Do we need to provide more instruction to the student on what is appropriate bus behavior? We would use it to drive our program forward and to help make it safer for the students. Did that answer your question?
Sort of. I'm not being clear, and it's
no,
my fault.
No.
You're already putting things in place in areas that you know. So that's just to justify that those things are working. Is it
well,
a two, two
what we
prime,
have
or?
What we have in place now is each school has their own data collection system.
Okay.
I, as the anti-bullying coordinator, compiled my own system. What we would like to do is have it, for example, when I pass this over to Mrs. Goad, that she can take the data from last year and this year and move forward and say, okay, are we making improvements in this area? If not, what more do we still need to do with it? You know, is it improving in the older grades, and are we still having a problem in the younger grades? Are we suddenly seeing, for some reason, we're seeing a development in an area that we haven't seen it before? Because I think, although we've done it for a long time, having that hard data there really gives us a vision on is what we think happening really happening.
Thank you.
Yes.
I have a comment. The anti-bullying legislation, it comes with it a lot of requirements for training and reporting and communication. And here as a board, we've had training. I know all the staff have had training. The administrators have had training. And Mrs. Hammond, you've reported to us during the year, as has Dr. Clark, on our compliance activities. The parent universities, the programs in the schools to generate positive behavior. And I just wanted to remind everybody that Mrs. Hammond fulfilled that role as district anti-bullying coordinator for 2012-2013. And it's in addition to her normal duties. It's not a stipend position. It's something that she took on. So I wanted to thank you for doing that work for the past year. And I think you did a very good job. And I know I saw on the agenda tonight that Mrs. Goad is going to assume that role for next year. But I want to thank you for the work that you did on that in the past year.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions from Mrs. Hammond? Thank you, Mrs. Hammond. We're still in the superintendent's report. Dr. Clark, are you?
Great.
How are you doing?
So now I'm good. I'm good. We're moving forward.
All right.
We have to take action on accepting this report.
Okay, so we're seeking a motion on SU-001.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
By John Higgins. Seconded by Dan McTiernan. Any discussion on superintendent's comments? Seeing none, could we please have a roll call vote, Mrs. Spitzer?
Ms. Cresti?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Moving on, we come to our first public comment section. This is for agenda items only. If any member of the public would like to speak to the Board of Education about anything on the agenda tonight, please just come to the mic and tell us your name and where you live, and try to restrict your comments to 3 minutes if possible. No takers? First public comment section for agenda items only. Anybody from the public? Okay, we have two additional opportunities in the meeting for public comments. Moving on, first recognition of the public. This is the second opportunity to speak to the Board of Education. This would be about any topic. It doesn't need to be on the agenda. If anybody would like to speak to the Board of Education, please just approach the mic and tell us who you are. Any public comments?
Ned.
Okay. Seeing none, we're moving on to the report of the school business administrator, Heather Spitzer.
The date of our next Board of Education meeting will be held on August 26th here in the auditorium at 7:30 p.m. I want to inform the board that the New Jersey School Boards Association workshop for 2013 will be held October 22nd through the 24th in Atlantic City. I will need to get a sense of who would like to attend so we can go ahead and get you registered, so we'll be sending out confirmations to each of you to get back to me to go ahead and register for workshop. We do have a lot of things going on with projects. We'll see a lot of that information coming through in our committee reports. So at this time, we're really busy trying to get the schools cleaned up and ready to go for the new school year. And the summer's almost halfway over. So other than that, that's the complete report.
Thank you, Mrs. Spitzer. And then I just wanted to point out that the second action item, we would be accepting the resignation of Michelle Sullivan. So I'm seeking a motion on BA-001 and BA-002.
Motion.
By Dan McTiernan. And a second?
Second.
By Maria Grant. Any discussion on the BA action item? Can we please have a roll call?
Ms. Cresti?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
001, I abstain as I was not present for the regular or executive session meeting. Sadly, yes to 002.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes, but on action item 14BA-001, I need to abstain from the executive session.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
I have to abstain on BA-001 and yes to the rest.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Moving on to the committee reports. Kevin Malloy is the chairman of our Facilities and Finance Committee. Mr. Malloy, would you please give us a report on the activities of your committee?
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Sturgis. So the committee met actually earlier this evening to go over open items, discuss ongoing initiatives, as well as talk about some overlap between personnel and finance with relation to new hires that you'll see when Mr. McTiernan gives his report from the personnel. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. A little low.
A little better. How you doing, Clinton?
Better?
Now you know how I feel.
Sorry about that.
You talk.
I'm sorry about that. Can everybody hear me? Okay. You'll see several agenda items tonight that are germane to some of the facilities and securities improvements that we have discussed as a board in the public and in various committees and with the safety committee leading up to tonight's meeting over the past few months. A few housekeeping items related to district travel for administrators and teachers. One small item related to having some, I wouldn't go so far as to call it emergency, but certainly necessary landscaping conducted at the Round Valley School. And we will also, you will also note one particular item that I'll actually draw your attention to because I do want to have a very brief sort of overview again on action item 14FF008. The board accepts 2012-13 extraordinary aid in the amount of $659,786. I think it's important to quickly have a bit of a, I guess, bullet point refresher overview on extraordinary aid, what it is and how it's calculated. When the Board of Education prepares its budget in a given year, the estimates for extraordinary aid being those costs needed to help our students who require special needs both inside district and out of district, we budget for that anticipated figure during the year. The budget is prepared based on prior year's extraordinary aid figures and the estimates of students that may require special aid during the year as we work with our teachers, administrators, director of special services, et cetera. This amount is over, for those of you who have noticed, this amount is over the budgeted amount for the 12-13 year by a material amount, I would say, several hundred thousand dollars. Why? Well, let's talk about how extraordinary aid is calculated. Extraordinary aid is a formula. And I'm going to ask our business administrator, Heather Spitzer, to correct me if I step out of bounds here in terms of explaining the formula. But extraordinary aid is determined based on, as I mentioned, on the criteria I mentioned before, the reimbursement, and this is a partial reimbursement. The formula that the state provides is for those extraordinary aid situations requiring a student outside of district, the state formula is 75% reimbursement above $50,000. For those students requiring extraordinary services in district, the reimbursement formula is 90% over $40,000. It is prudent never to budget to the formula because extraordinary aid is something calculated at the state level. Every district in the state applies, and as a result, when all the applications are brought in and all the facts and figures are tabulated, you just don't get to the formula. This year, I believe the average reimbursement was at approximately just under 67%. So when you see this extraordinary aid, it's important to understand that this is, one, a partial reimbursement, and two, it is, in fact, a reimbursement. We had certain extraordinary aid situations that required services in excess of the budget for the 12-13 year. We are resolving tonight, as I move this action item, we are resolving to accept it, apply it to surplus for the time being. The appropriation of these monies will likely go towards continued services for those children in our district who need them. So I'll just look at Heather. Did I get the thumbs up on that?
The out-of-district is over 55,000.
55,000?
75% over 55,000.
Okay, so I was off by 10%. I do apologize. You'll also note in our agenda tonight certain action items being moved with relation to certain students at the recommendation, I believe, of our new interim director, Dr. Tara, for the child study team. And it's my understanding that he's been doing quite a lot of good work right out of the gate. You'll also notice as we talk about the security items that we have taken the liberty of posting the bids received so you can see how the bids were received numerically and which bids the superintendent, the Board of Education, and the business administrator are proposing. So I think, by and large, that is all the news that is fit to print in terms of action items. One quick follow-up. For those of you who drove here tonight, you see that the barn is still there.
really?
Well, what is left of the barn is still there. There are 5 golden tickets hidden in the... No, I'm kidding. where we are in the barn, and again, I'll ask our business administrator, Mrs. Spitzer, to step in if we've gotten this wrong. It's a multi-stage process because we do have to deal with the Historic Preservation Office, or the HPO, because the barn was quite old. And it was, in fact, I believe it dates from the late 18th century in certain parts of it. So we do have to deal with DEP and the HPO. We have cleared the DEP hurdle. The HPO, we do have our applications in. It's my understanding that Mrs. Spitzer is in touch with the Historic Preservation Office on a pretty much daily basis to check on the status of those applications. Why do we have applications? There are items contained within the wreckage of the barn that, once recovered, if salvageable, are believed to have material historic value. And there are those organizations within the township that have requested that, to the extent that these items are salvageable, they would like them. As such, we do have to follow all the requisite steps. So, but we do feel, and I know this is being recorded, so I'm going to go ahead and put it on the line, but we do feel pretty good about having that cleared up before the children do come back in September. If not, we'll just paint it really fun colors or do something like that with it. So with my amateur comedy act complete, I would like to seek a motion on action items 14FF001 through 14FF034.
So moved. Second.
So moved by Mark and seconded by Rachel. Okay, we have a motion and a second on FF001 through FF034. Is there any discussion on this action?
Quick question.
Mark.
Oh, go ahead, Mark.
Oh, I'm sorry. Kevin, could you go over maybe the bidding process for a couple items, maybe 025, 027, through 029 bidding, and talk about that a little bit? I don't know if I should have interrupted him.
I'm having a hard time hearing you. 025.
About the bidding
sure.
process.
I'll go about the bidding.
Yeah. I didn't want to interrupt him during his.
Understood.
Oh, certainly. So I'll ask Heather to sort of jump in and take over the discussion in a minute. But the bidding process was not dissimilar to any other bidding process over the required thresholds that the board would take. Ads placed, seeking bids. We did work in close connection with the and thank you for bringing that up because I did forget to bring it up. But we did work in close concert with the architect of record as we looked through these items. So, Heather, perhaps you can now fill in some of the foreground on the bidding process, where we're going and what we're doing.
We had 3 projects among all 4 schools, 4 summer projects, including an ADA bathroom that needed to be installed at Round Valley, some air conditioning, some locks, and some other security measures that we were taking in the district. What we did is we lumped them into individual projects to get more efficiencies. So we did a bid for the Round Valley projects, we did a bid for security cameras, and we did a bid for key and door locks in each of the buildings. The bid openings, the first bid opening was last Wednesday for the work to be done at Round Valley School. The bid is open and goes through attorney reviews. We had, I believe, 4 bids that were received. They were opened together, and then those bids are then vetted through the architect's office and also through the attorney's office. Once we receive that all the bidding documentation is in order, we do, by law, are required to award to the lowest
bidder as long as it's what we asked for within our bid specs. On Friday, we opened the bids for the door locks as well as the security cameras, and again, those also go through architectural review as well as attorney review. And then today, they are on the agenda. You will see all of the projects as two motions. The first is to accept all of the bids from each of the bidders, and the second is to award to the lowest bidder. Once the bids have been accepted by the Board of Education, then the projects can begin. You will see a little delay because there will be ordering time for some of the objects, but hopefully we'll see some pretty quick movement at Round Valley in getting the bathroom installed and some of the things installed before the school year begins.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do the bidders typically attend the opening?
For each of them, we had at least 3 to 4 vendors. There were some that Federal expressed their bids and did not attend, but we did have quite a turnout for each of the bid openings this last week.
Mark, is that?
Yes, thank you.
John Higgins had a question.
Just a quick question. The handout showed $1,113,000 for bills for the period ending July 29. The resolution shows $1,108,000.
It should have been amended. It's amended with the new bill list.
So it is 113?
Correct. That is correct.
I had a question on 14FF033, the inclusion training. We had discussed in our committee that this was something that we were really interested in trying to obtain for our teachers. And I'm noting that August 26th is prior to the start of the school year. So I just wanted to know the process for informing teachers and whether or not their availability, and if they were to come in, do they get paid?
Yes. I believe they're on the agenda and personnel. There's a list of teachers to be approved, and we have informed them. We're waiting for a list of who's able to be there. So the teachers have been informed that that's the date. And we're working to get as many teachers and teams recommended by our administrators to the training. And Toby Carton is very well known in the area of inclusion. She's written books on this subject, and so we're very excited to have her in the district speaking with our teachers and doing the training.
If they're unavailable to come because obviously
right. They
may have prior plans, would there be an opportunity to possibly get copies of handouts or
yes. Videotape
her instructions?
Yes, we're working on that right now, and we're working on getting materials so that we could purchase the materials for all our teachers, even those who cannot attend the specific training.
Great, thanks.
I have Bob.
Can I go back to John's question before we do another one? You mentioned an amended amount. Do we need to make an amendment on this agenda?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought it was. There was an amended bill list handed out. There was one item. I believe it was CenturyLink.
It was the Ethernet and Internet.
Yes. I part of the original, when the check was put into the system, there were a couple of lines that were omitted, and we didn't
okay.
want to leave that off the bill list, so we amended it.
Okay.
So the amended amount on the bill list should be $1,113,684.23.
Okay, so it's amended on the bill list. Is it otherwise referenced in the agenda?
I thought it was here.
This one here?
Yes.
002?
Yeah, that's what it needs to be.
Okay.
The 1,113,684.23.
So, Mr. Gagliardi, can you walk us through that? We need to amend our FF02 to a new dollar amount. We have a motion and a second.
Right, so you should ask for a motion to amend. If that passes, then you can vote on the...
Okay.
The agenda writ large. So there'll be two votes. The first is just to amend what's already before the board.
Okay, thank you. So we'll continue with discussion. Mrs. Grant, you had a question?
Just a quick clarification. FF031 and FF032, we're having work with asbestos removal, and I just wanted to clarify that one company will be doing the abatement and cleanup of it while the other monitors and documents. Is that correct?
That is correct. RK Environmental is the environmental company to do the air quality monitoring during the asbestos abatement process. And that is in the room that we are putting the ADA-compliant bathroom in.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion on the facilities and finance action items? Okay. I'm seeking a motion to amend FF002.
So moved.
By Kevin Malloy.
Second.
By Maria Grant. And we're going to amend the dollar amount on payment of bills for the period ending July 29, 2013. The amount in the agenda is $1,108,869.23. And the amended amount?
$1,113,684.23.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Now we'll move.
Right, so you'll just take a roll call on amending the correct bill list amount. And that's all that's before the board right now.
Ms. Cresti?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Thank you for that catch, Mr. Higgins. Okay, any additional questions on facilities and finance action items? Okay, seeing none, can we please have a roll call vote on FF001 through FF034?
No. The same one, we amended 002. Ms. Cresti?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Okay. Moving on to personnel and negotiations. Dan McTiernan is the chairman of this committee. Mr. McTiernan, could you please give us a report on the activities of your committee?
Sure. Do we need to amend the agenda as it had been handed as we came into the room and additional items? We also have 14PN-040, and we have listed on the agenda that we're going to be reviewing action items 14PN001 through 14PN039.
Should I respond, Mr. President?
Please, Mr. Gargano.
As there's no motion before the board, you don't need a motion to amend. If it's your pleasure as the chair of the committee, Mr. McTiernan, when you make your motion, you can simply move PN001 through PN040.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Personnel negotiations is an interesting field and has been very busy, more so on the side of the administrative staff of the Clinton Township School District. As during the year, we look at teaching being a 10-month assignment, administration is a 12-month assignment, and they're getting their money's worth this couple months. There is a lot of interviewing that's taking place. It's been known that the superintendent has been seen multiple times driving between different buildings, interviewing one person down at Patrick McGarren, rushing up the Spruce Run to get someone, then over here to the middle school, and then back to Round Valley for another interview. I mention that because I think of the teachers' positions that we have open that we've received somewhere in the vicinity of 400-plus applications. Each of those applications need to be reviewed and disposed of. Disposed of, either selected or rejected, et cetera, interviewed at all. And the administrative staff does that, but it's never reflected in anything that the school board reports out at these meetings. So I thought it was important to note that all of the administrators have been extremely busy interviewing and making sure that we're getting the best quality teachers that we can to come and educate the children of the Clinton Township School District. Along with that, when we have administrative interviews, it's a rather interesting process. It's known as a group interview, as Sue smiles. I happen to have been involved in the interview team for the principal position at Round Valley, and the thought immediately came to mind is that, well, maybe what we should do is move it to the auditorium at the middle school and put the candidates up here on the stage because we were filling all of the seats out in the audience with interview questions. Literally, I think that you must have thought that this was 60 minutes as far as the number of people interviewing. And I share that with you more from that as people selections are being made in the school district, people are engaged in that. There are teachers that are engaged in it. There are parents that are engaged in it. Board members, when available, are engaged in it. And also other principals are engaged in the selection of the individuals for the positions. It's also important to note, I think, that we have two selections on very critical positions being made today and being voted on today for Clinton Township School District. And both of those individuals that are being selected have grown up and managed their way through Clinton Township schools. And I think that's admirable and a great reflection on the administrative staff and also the leadership of our superintendent. And that's something that we should be looking for as members of the community to be encouraged as we go forward, that more and more people who are interested in administrative positions within the school district receive the opportunities for personal development so that they can be selected for those positions. So as we go through this here, we have a number of things also going on that the administrative staff has to be involved in one way, shape, or form. And one of those is that right now we're extended on our contract with the association. I did want to let everyone know that we are engaged with the association in discussions regarding the contract. Some new points have been brought up. Going to require some additional discussion on both the association side and the Board of Education side. We'll be meeting again, I think, in 2 weeks. I don't remember the date. But it's a week or two from today. We are in a position, we think, to be very close to an agreement. We're not there yet. We've got some items to go through again and reach agreement on, but we're very, very optimistic that our collegial interactions will continue and we'll get to the point of agreement very quickly. That's our hope today. Now, the 40 items that we've got on the board, a lot of these are just day-to-day operations. They're somewhat mundane. There are the administrative changes in bringing people in, making sure that the right amounts of money are identified for people that are working during the summer. We've identified a new anti-bullying coordinator. We've got the nursing staff summer rates are being proposed today for our approval. ESY rates are out there. I do want to bring to everyone's attention, if you have a listing of the items that are put forth, the items number 5 and 6. Items number 5 and 6 are professional development. And it's important to note that right now, I'm not sure our exact active number of teachers, that is positions that are filled or are not in the process of being filled, but we're actually sending 98 teachers in the school district for professional development on this agenda. That's roughly 50% of the teachers that we've got here. Again, reflecting the administration's commitment and our superintendent's commitment to professional development. Again, want to point out that number 9 is the appointment, selection, torturous interview process, of Sue High as our principal for the Round Valley School. Also, our item number 10, very pleased, and Dr. Clark has already introduced Tim Jaw. Mr. Jaw and his torturous interview process also, which again was participated in by many, many people. I'm not sure that you wanted to be here in the auditorium. But again, I want to reinforce the number of people that are involved in that selection process. We've got some resignations. I've always wanted to reject and say no to a resignation, but I'm not sure how that would go with the person resigning. But we have a couple of resignations. Unfortunately, when you look at personnel and development, that's a natural outcropping of just the business that we're in as people move on. There's going to be changes. Those are taking place now. So we're losing a couple of critical people that were respected, and we'd like to get their jobs in place quickly. We also have a lot of positions that are being filled, numbers 15 through 32, and a couple of maternity leave replacements are in there. Position changes that are usually with the agreement of the administration and the individuals that are changing positions from one school to another, one classroom to another. The summer custodial staff rates, and also, as already mentioned in facilities and finance, is that there is some cleanup that needs to be taken place in these schools, particularly at Round Valley School. There are also discussions that are taking place with the superintendent and the township itself to see what role the township will continue to play in maintaining some of our fields that we've got for sports, both for the schools and also for recreational activities. We also have our substitute teachers and substitute secretaries being approved for utilization should they be needed and required. So with that, I would put forth items PN 001 through 14 PN 040 for approval.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
Moved by Kevin Malloy and second by Michelle Cressy. Thank you for the report, Dan. We have a motion and a second on PN 001 through PN 040. Is there any discussion on personnel negotiations action item? I have one. Okay. On PN 021, it looks like a new hire of a teacher for PMG grade 3, a replacement. Is this teacher a general educator or a special educator?
What's the name?
Kirk.
General. It's Kirk. It's Kirk. Oh, Anna Kirk is, I believe she's a general educator.
General.
She's general. General educator.
Okay.
She's been in our school. I've actually had a great opportunity to go into her classroom. When the students were publishing books and doing a reading and writing project, and it was just phenomenal, phenomenal.
Well, also, 040, that's a new hire?
Yes, that is a new hire for grade 5.
Okay. Thank you.
Any additional comments on the personnel negotiations action item? Okay, seeing none, Mrs. Spitzer, could we please have a roll call vote?
Ms. Cresty?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Now. Okay, moving on to policy and curriculum.
That's me.
Okay.
I don't know if he's ready. You ready, Kevin?
Oh, I'm sorry. Moving on to policy and curriculum. Rachel McLaughlin is the chairperson of this committee. Mrs. McLaughlin, could you please give us a report on the activities of the committee? And I wanted to give you a heads up before you went through your report that we want to amend removal of Mrs. Sullivan from the committee as she's resigned since this was printed.
Want to add it?
We want to remove her from...
It's not an action item on here, though.
No, but we still want to amend it before we... Before we move.
Before we start the report? Do we have to do anything? I can't hear her.
No.
We're okay. We don't
have to do anything.
I don't have to do anything?
No, we'll just line through it. We had Mrs. Sullivan on this committee, and obviously she's no longer on the committee because she's resigned, so we're just going to remove her name from the from the committee roster. Sorry about that, please.
Okay. The Policy and Curriculum Committee met on July 15th for quite a lot of time, although you wouldn't note that from the agenda since we only have one action item tonight. We had the pleasure of reviewing the new puberty workshop materials. So if you have any questions about puberty, I am now set.
Me too.
I believe in the board notes, there was a description of what went on.
It was a song too, right? A song?
It was lengthy, so we decided to consolidate it because many of us felt like since we had experienced it ourselves, we knew what to expect. I'm happy to report that the materials have come a long way since I was in school. We also spent some time talking about the co-teaching training that we're going to be offering in August, as well as some areas of the curriculum that we're going to be revising. At this point, we don't have anything to bring forward yet, although hopefully on the August agenda there will be some math curriculum materials that will be added to the agenda. In terms of
Action items. There's only one action item tonight. It is to approve the New Jersey Child Assault Prevention Program, which we currently utilize in kindergarten. And that's the summary of my report.
Thank you.
With that, I would like to move action item 14, PC-001.
Okay, we have a motion to move PC-001. We need a second.
Second.
By Darren McTiernan. Any discussion on policy and curriculum?
No puberty questions?
Seeing none, can we please have a roll call vote, Mrs. Spencer?
Ms. Kresty?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Moving on to the Communications Committee, Maria Grant is the chairperson of this committee. Maria, could you please give us an activity on the report on the activity of your committee?
I have two items to report on that we're currently working on. One is we've begun to work on a staff appreciation breakfast to be held on August 27th. It's the first day back for the staff, all of our staff, from the winter or summer, from the summer break. And it's our way of recognizing all their hard work and dedication to our children and to our community. And we would like to say thank you through this breakfast. Second thing I would like to report on, we had a survey initially to find out what type of content people would like to see in the Clinton Township newsletter. Initially, we went out to the parents within our district to find out what they would like to see in content. We then ran the survey again to find out what the folks in our community who don't have children within our community, what they would like to see in the Clinton Township newsletter. And what they've reported back to us is that they enjoy and would like to continue to see a letter from the superintendent. They would also like to see a letter from the president of the school board to see what types of projects we're working on and perhaps some things that the board will be discussing in the near future. They would like a section called a board brief that contains highlights from the prior board meetings and hot topics. So if there's anything, any information that we're working on, whether it's the budget or the barn, they'd like to see that included in a section called hot topics. And a great deal of people would like to see the continuation of what's going on in our schools, specifically relative to events and awards of staff and children within each specific school. We'll work with Dr. Clark, get a meeting in August to work on this a little more and implement it in the Clinton Township newsletter. That newsletter has a long turnaround time, so it may be a couple months before we actually start to see these changes take place, but we'll get started working on that right away. That's all I have to report for now.
Thank you, Mrs. Grant. We don't have action items in this committee tonight, but does anybody have any comments or questions regarding communications? Seeing none, we're going to move on to old business. This is an opportunity for members of the board to bring up any old business. I have one. We had some feedback about the school calendar. Mrs. McLaughlin, you want?
When the school board developed the calendar, we had sent out a survey asking for feedback from the community as to which days we would like to have off. And as much as possible, the sentiment was that we would like to align with the North Hunterdon High School District. And it has come to our attention that there is a day in the calendar that we are not aligned with North Hunterdon. And so I think we're going to take it into review. Yom Kippur happens to be Friday, September 13th, and although it is a religious holiday, it is not observed till sundown. And so we are looking to possibly amend that date, and once we research it, we will let the public know and send out communication as well as reaching out to the Clinton Township Education Association.
So when we built the calendar, the goal was to align as closely as we could with the high school, the glaring exception being the start of the school year. We wanted to start after Labor Day, whereas the high school starts in August. There are reasons where we can't recommend doing that. But other than that, to the degree that we can, we wanted to align this the CTSD calendar with the North Huntington calendar so that families who have kids in both schools would have common holidays. So as Mrs. McLaughlin had outlined, there is a day, which is Yom Kippur, where we're showing a day off, and neither North Huntington nor most other districts that we can identify in the area have that day off. So it was a miscommunication, and we're proposing discussing it and possibly changing it to be a school day. We would probably do that with an action item on the August agenda, and I think we'd like to get some discussion here from the board members. We want to hear what you think about that, and possibly refer that back to policy and curriculum for some more discussion. And the possible outcome would be that action item on the August agenda. So, any comments on this topic? What do you all think about this date?
Thanks. I think that as long as we can observe everyone's religious events properly, and if it's not going to infringe on the event, then I think we should consider not having the day off and aligning with the high school. I think it really causes disarray in folks' lives when you have different calendars. So I think that we should consider the change, as long as the religious event can be observed properly by the families.
As I understand it, the holiday begins at sundown, and obviously the school day ends, you know, prior to 3 o'clock. So we don't believe there's any interference, but we'll do a little bit more digging there.
Question to that. In keeping the calendar aligned, assuming that we take September 13th, you said?
Mm-hmm.
We take September 13th from a day off to a school day. We would have to, though, to be consistent with the negotiated agreement and the number of school days in a given year, we would have to take a day off later in the year, correct?
We could.
You'd have to match up everything. Yeah.
That's right.
But we could amend the last day of school to be a day earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we do need to consult our staff about the change as well, prior to proposing any change.
Can I also add too that maybe we talk with people who practice this faith to see if, you know, I know it starts at sundown, but is there anything prior to that we may not be aware of that it would be better if they had half a day or, you know, like, just want to make sure that the full day doesn't fall into something we're not aware of if we don't practice that particular faith.
Right, that's what I meant, to make sure that we are observing, that everyone is able to observe their holiday properly. Yep. What is, you know, I don't recall the our policy. What is our policy, though, if children do have to leave? For example, if somebody has to travel to be someplace by sundown, is that an excused absence?
Yes. Yes.
So that might be the appropriate way to accommodate everybody.
Let's see what we're doing. Any other comments on the school calendar? All right, thank you for the comments. It's helpful. I think we'll refer that back to the Policy and Curriculum Committee for discussion and potentially a recommendation at the next Board of Education meeting. So thank you for that. Unless are there any other comments, that concludes old business. Moving on to new business, do any of the board members have any new business that they would like to address before the board? No comments at this time. We're moving on to the second recognition of the public. This is the last opportunity for a member of the public to speak to the board. You can speak on any topic. Please just approach the mic and tell us who you are. No takers at this time. We have an executive session tonight. Mrs. Spitzer, would you mind reading the executive session language?
Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Baer Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, requires all meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12b sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12b, B, to be discussed without the public in attendance, and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any collective bargaining agreement or the terms and conditions of which are proposed for inclusion in any collective bargaining agreement, including negotiation of terms and conditions with employees or representatives of employees of the public body. The collective bargaining contract discussed is between the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Education Association. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the Board hereby declares that its discussion of aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action will not be taken upon return.
Okay, so at this time, the Board members are going to go into executive session. When we return and reopen the meeting, there won't be any action taken. So I want to thank everybody for coming tonight. We appreciate you coming, especially in July. Okay. Wanted to congratulate Mrs. High and Mr. Jaw on your new positions. Congratulations. And we're seeking a motion to go into executive session.
So moved.
By Mark Freda. And a second?
Second.
By Dan McTiernan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the time is 8:51, and we're going to move into executive session. Thanks for coming, everyone.